Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Nice day for a glass of wine. 5 minutes past one. I'm going to be having a bit of a chat about wine in winter. What wine should we be drinking? Are we heading towards alternative varieties? Are you dragging out a bottle of Pinot Noir? You should be drinking something now. A glass of wine with your vol-au-vent for lunch would be perfect. Nick Stock's going to be in the studio to join me, and we'll talk all sorts of things. We'll talk roasts and game and stuff. Well, of course we are, because that's what we do every Saturday. It's 1 o'clock. Well, sorry, it's 6 minutes past one. Every Saturday we do this until 2 o'clock. We have a wander through food and wine around our city, our state, and indeed our country. And we look at things that are important, things that are happening in food and wine. Last week we talked all about breakfast and some of the best breakfast in Melbourne. It's really time to move on from breakfast. It's that time of the day where you should be having a glass of wine. And so, the man who is Mr. Wine indeed, Nick Stock, is in the studio with me to talk us through some wines we should drink in winter and some events that he's involved with, as well as a new little broadcasting venture. Nick Stock, welcome.
Morning. It's good. Well, afternoon.
Afternoon, yes. Morning for some people. It's good to have you back in the studio. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. I think it was Andrew McConnell that I was in here with last time.
God, that seems forever ago. Forever. Probably was. Because we're about to celebrate 3 years on air. We have, in fact, done 3 years. I might do a celebration next week.
Right.
Celebrate 3 years of craving.
Right.
So I think you've been on a couple of times in that 3 years.
I'm thinking champagne.
Yeah, I'm thinking champagne too. I think somebody suggested I do something about halal, but not on my birthday, don't think. So 3 years and I'm doing it in dog gear, so it's like I've been on air for 21 years, so it's going to be a big event. Mate, what's been happening? You're a busy man.
Yeah, lots happening. I guess, you know, the world of media is pretty, everyone would have read in the news this last week, it's changing so quickly and there's so much going on, so I guess if you're in that space, you've got to get busy and be proactive and start to set your own agenda as much as you can.
Well, we've obviously, people have been living in a cave if they haven't heard about what's happening with Fairfax and News Limited. Jobs are going to be cut. How does that affect those people that, like yourself, that do write for particular publications? How's that going to affect particularly Fairfax and obviously News Limited? The output of writing about wine and food, do you think?
There's certainly, they are restructuring the wine and food space, which I guess is relevant to listeners today. And I think Fairfax between them have maybe 17 different people that write about wine across all of the different newspapers,
17.
And different editions. And their plan, I was told, was to reduce that to maybe 5.
So those people are, is it Tim White writes for, is that the Fin Review?
Fin Review, yeah.
Who writes wine for The Australian?
Well, that's not their group, but James Halliday is the...
Of course. Sydney Mining Herald, as I believe it's going to be, with
Juan Hook.
Obviously here in Melbourne.
Ralph Kite Powell.
Yep.
You've got Jane writing in Melbourne as well, Jane Faulkner.
You've got Jenny Port writing in Melbourne.
Jenny Port writing
Epicure.
In Melbourne as well.
Sally Gudgeon does a bit of that as well.
Sally Gudgeon does a bit. There's a few sort of monthly columns and bits and pieces. Mm. And then there are some different columns in the sort of Sunday magazines and bits and pieces.
And then News Limited. Obviously, Tony Love's got a syndicated column, I think.
Tony's got a syndicated column in the News tabloid masthead. And
the Hun and the Telly,
yes. And James Halliday writes for the Australian, and you know, does the lots of inserts and bits and pieces. But
so it's a big group of people that are obviously. Do we know who's going to stay? Who's going to go?
We don't. I was told, you know, I was told a couple of months ago that they were restructuring, rationalising, re-strategising, whatever you want to call it. And I think they've been through the food sort of side of things, and that's underway already. I don't know the details of that, but in terms of wine, I think that's sort of about to roll out. I mean, my involvement with the Fairfax Group is sort of at arm's length. I write the odd sort of freelance story, and certainly when the book comes out, which is if you like. Co-branded under the Age Sydney Morning Herald titles, then we do a lot of activity. But
now, get a plug in for the book, go on.
The Age Sydney Morning Herald Good Wine Guide, which will be out in, I think we're launching late September this year. Yeah, the 2013 edition. But my publishing deal is with Penguin, and you know, and then we sort of effectively license the title to Fairfax so that they can brand it the way they do.
Is this a good thing if we're going to have less in our newspapers or less writers in our newspapers? Is this a good thing for, and not just for wine writers? Obviously, there's a lot of people who are writing about food, and restaurants and that sort of thing. Is this a good opportunity to springboard into the digital media and start doing all of your stuff on digital media? Like, you've got Wine Lens, which is your new little video production site.
Yeah, I think it is, and I think if you're not you know, setting your own course at this point in media, whether you're writing about wine or, you know, anything, you're sort of missing the boat.
And well, it was Rick Backus, I think, in 2011 said if you're not online with your business in 2011, you're going to be out of business by 2016.
Not
one for an opinion, Rick Backus.
But it's interesting because I think a lot of people you know, see it as being you know, a great unknown, but I think, you know, it's interesting to see how people respond to that, because my response to that is fantastic. Let's do stuff. And some other people find it sort of slightly more daunting, I think. And I think that you know, it's that fortune favors the brave sort of sort of moment for media, really. If you are brave, and if you're confident, and I think if you believe
in what you do,
yeah, and you've certainly got to have something good to offer, then I think you know, I think it's a good moment for you. So you know, it's going to be very interesting.
Well, we can watch that landscape with bated breath. We've got a message already. Hey, Pete. Apropos of nothing, spend the pink dollar in non-homophobic countries like Greece instead of Queensland next time. They need tourism, and the island food is exquisite, especially the seafood. I'm going to boycott visiting Queensland, a result of Newman's stupid policies on the GLBTI community. Hugs and more hugs. I think that is in response to the live broadcast I did from the Noosa Food and Wine Festival a couple of weeks ago. Wherever those festivals are, in response to that message, we will bring them to you where possible, because they are important. Very much part of my philosophy with this program is to talk about food and wine, not just here in Melbourne and Victoria, but nationally. And the Noosa Food and Wine Festival is one festival that is as important to Noosa and regional Queensland as the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival is here.
Hey, I've got to say, just on that, you want to spend some dollars in Greece, but if you haven't been to Croatia, get there. Oh, it is so good. I was there a couple of months ago.
And some very good wine coming out of Croatia.
Yeah, there is. Very good wine, beautiful food, amazing seafood on the islands. They've got truffles in the hills. 365 days a year they forage for truffles.
And dare I say, Nick Stock, good-looking men. We might take a message and come back and continue with Nick Stock. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9 0427, Joy 949. Send me an SMS, email onair@joy.org.au. You can do things the old-fashioned way and phone 1300 Joy 949, or send a tweet to cravings_joy949. It's 13 minutes past one. As we get closer to the end of the financial year, it's the perfect time to make your tax-deductible donation to Joy 94.9. Joy relies on the generosity of people like you to support us through memberships as well as donations. See joy.org.au to make your online tax-deductible donation today, and keep supporting Australia's only lesbian and gay radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. It is a quarter past one on a, well, it looks like it's a bit of a grubby Saturday afternoon. Nick Stock, you've just arrived at the studio. What's it like out there?
Yeah, I like it, I've got to say.
You like winter?
I like the cold. As long as it's not raining, I love the cold. I love putting jackets on and rugging up. And
scarves and hats and things. Nick Stock is my guest, at least for the first half of the program. He's here to talk about wines that we should be drinking in winter. We're just unpacking what's happening with the change in the media landscape, particularly in print, now that the announcements have come from Fairfax and News Limited around where wine writers are going to be. Now, let's flick across to Wine Lens, because we talked about people sort of fortune favouring the brave and people moving to a digital way of delivering content. So talk me through Wine Lens.
So Wine Lens is a project that I just put together at the start of the year with another guy by the name of Luke Eblin. And really, we're aiming digital content at the wine space, also then, you know, drawing another circle outside that, which is food and food producers, and then a big circle around the whole lot, which is really, you know, food and wine, gastronomic tourism sort of space. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, we're doing work in other areas, fashion and even
because you've always been a fashion place.
Yes. So it's an exciting space. I think in terms of the wine, just to go back to the core of it, I don't think too many people. I mean, you just have to surf the internet for sort of 2.5 seconds to see how much wine stuff there is out there. Mm. But I guess we're trying to bring a slightly more polished version of digital content into the space.
And that was my next question. What are you doing differently that all of those others aren't? Because there are, you know, vodcasts hither and thither right across the net.
Yeah, we're making small films mostly, and we're going out with a plan rather than just that sort of opportunistic. Oh, I'll just grab the camera out and grab this, and you know, certainly we do that, but we're working to, I guess, bring a level of quality to the sort of thing we're doing, which doesn't necessarily involve extremely high cost of production, but at the same time delivers the same grade of quality that you would expect to see on television and even moving into the film space. And I think there's a huge opportunity for people to do that. And the feedback we've got already, and we've really only just put our face on online, is that it's just so good to see something that's not just, you know, grab the phone out of the pocket and shot it and posted it. It's really nice to see something that's actually had some love and care and attention and has been crafted a little bit more. So,
as you say, anybody can pull their phone out of the pocket, and we've all become producers of online content, myself included.
Yeah.
Doing the Sommelier's Long Lunch, for example, I sort of did about 8 interviews that day, and the interviews got better clearly as the lunch went on, and was able to post those online directly, and that seems to be the way a lot of organisations are going. I'm sort of starting to head that way with media releases, where I don't want to send out a written media release because people like you get hundreds of those in a week. If I send you a video link and say, hey, check this out, you're going to pay more attention if you've got a really groovy little video media release rather than some words on a page.
I think the quality thing is quickly becoming really important, because with people spending so much time now looking at mobile devices or looking at screens, anything that is more polished is going to stand out very quickly, and the sort of noise that surrounds it. It's, I think, you know, people that do a good job and go that extra sort of step or two or three are going to really, you know, set themselves apart from sort of the big crowd in that space.
And a similar project, I'm sure you're familiar with, Two Men in Mendoza.
Yes,
it's going to be a very interesting project. That's our good buddies, Dan Sims and Ben Edwards, who are making wine in Argentina. They're creating a bit of film along the way that's going to talk about that project, and it's interesting. Now, you've moved, as much as you are known for being a commentator and writer around wine, you're also making wine.
Yeah, I have been making wine for a dozen years now. So it's I think you're still a newcomer at about 10 or 12 years into making wine. So it's such a long sort of long-term thing. It was something I got into with my brother, first of all, we were both working as sommeliers, and we decided that we wanted to you know, wanted to explore the sort of the wine experience a little bit more. And in terms of what I do as a writer now, it's there's no question that if you've actually spent time in vineyards thinking about when you will pick your grapes to make your wine, it's very different to spending time in vineyards having someone tell you about when they are going to pick their grapes to make their wine. It's, you know, the actual experience of doing it really is just gives you such a deeper insight, not only into the production but also into the commitment that's involved in trying to make a great wine. It's not that easy.
How much of your prior experience as a writer, as a commentator, as somebody who's had to absorb knowledge and then write about it, particularly overseas, informs the way that you make wine?
Oh, plenty. I mean, it's really, you know, it's a source of great inspiration. And, you know, I've been, it's really lucky to have, you know, travelled to so many different countries and met so many winemakers, been in so many vineyards and in so many wineries, and to have seen the way different people approach. And there are certainly, you know, there are certainly universal things that you can say that, you know, people would all agree with all around the world. But then there are layers and layers and layers on top of that, which are, you know, distinctly different, and attitudes and ideas go in different directions. So it's a source of real inspiration.
Mm. What's the hardest thing about making wine, Nick?
I think it's knowing when to step back. I think it's you know, I think harvesting fruit is an incredibly important decision. But then once you have grapes in the winery and you're making wine per se, it's knowing when not to do something. That is quite a hard thing to learn, you know. I think, and you see so many winemakers have they're tempted to sort of over tinker or you know, maybe get involved, when really, you know, wine, if you start with the right sort of quality coming in from the vineyard, you know, it's just best gently steered through the process, very light hands, you know.
Where you allow the fruit to talk for itself, and I think we've seen a change in the last probably 7 or 8 years, more noticeably with things like Chardonnay, where Chardonnays we tried to mold them to be like European wines, and now that we tinker less with them and they spend less time in oak and the fruit's allowed to speak for itself, people like myself are moving back to drinking Chardonnay more frequently because it's less buttery, it's less unctuous, it's less of a punch in the guts and more of something you can enjoy.
Yeah, it's also the net result about that around that is that in Australia, all of a sudden, you know, if you go back, I mean, only 10 years, you know, that you could say that maybe the whole of Australia was trying to make the same six wines. You know, everybody in the country was all sort of aiming
Shiraz, Cab Sauv, Chardonnay.
Yeah, just varietal styles. And now you're in a situation where everyone is trying to make their own, not everyone, but so many people now that make wine in Australia are trying to make their own absolutely unique, distinctive wine, and are quite confident that that is the right way to go. They need to be able to put a wine on the table that says, I am unique and I'm interesting. And I speak of the place that I come from.
And this is, in some senses, the not just the birth, but the emergence of the alternative varietals of wine movement, if you will. It's 23 minutes past one. I'm going to talk to Nick Stock about varietal movement very shortly, but I do want to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949. Send me an SMS. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can tweet to cravings_joy949, or you can do things the old-fashioned way, pick up the phone and dial 1300-JOY949. I will be very soon speaking to Zoe Ladyman. She is from Libertine French Dining in North Melbourne, and also to Belinda Hagen from McIver Farm Foods in regional Victoria. They're doing the Pig Day out on the 30th of June next weekend, which is going to be a great deal of fun. The reason I'm talking about these two events in particular is because one is a focus on regional produce, and the other, which is all about wild caught game, and yourself and Max Allen are involved with this project. So perhaps it's a logical move. We're talking about alternative varieties of wine, and I think you were given the unenviable task of going out and finding some Mataros. There was a discussion over dinner or over Twitter. Neil Prentice from Mundara, who we know quite well, asked what goes with Mataro, and Max Allen being Max said that wild boar was a good idea, and then all of a sudden this dinner was born. It's called Where the Wild Things Are. Talk us through your involvement with that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been making a bit of Mataro for a long time, and it's a variety that I really love. And
now Mataro is also known as Mourvèdre Monastrell.
Monastrell, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Mataro is actually the name of a Spanish. It was actually a place in Spain is where that grape takes its name from. It's one of those sort of little culty things that, you know, when you mention it and what you said happened on Twitter, someone sort of mentioned it and we all sort of came out of the woodwork saying, oh yeah, that sounds really interesting. Twitter's a fantastic event planning space.
Isn't it brilliant? I probably spend more time on Twitter than I do anywhere else now. Just engaging in conversation and, you know, I'm having political conversations, I'm having food and wine conversations, I'm having, you know, all sorts of conversations about football.
I'm not having conversations about football as a Carlton supporter.
I am a North Melbourne person. Come on.
This discussion happened and we decided, you know, very quickly that, and I've had a little hashtag Mataro Palooza, which I've used with another couple of people on Twitter, and we've talked about doing things from time to time. And then this came up, Max, was threatened/promised to once the Where the Wild Things Are theme was sort of decided on, to arrive in a bear suit.
Or a wolf suit. I'm looking forward to that.
So I think, I am too.
It's a Kodak moment waiting to happen for Max Allen.
We're clearly having a bit of fun, but also it's a variety that is slightly sort of cryptic and it's a little bit off the, you know, it's on off-piste kind of wine. And you quickly discover that, you know, in Australia, South Australia in particular, the Barossa Valley in particular, there are some incredibly rarefied old vineyard plantings of the grape, and we're talking, you know, stuff into the back to the 1850s.
Really?
And the people that make these wines are usually very enthusiastic about it, and it produce it's sort of slightly counterintuitive as a wine style, Mataro, because it's not fruity and in your face, and it's, you know, it's not sort of like Pinot Noir, which is sort of very fragrant and perfumed as well. Mataro is very earthy. It's sort of, you know, it has a sort of a wild, rugged sort of mountain herb thread. Ooh, and
so all of a sudden sounding very, very butch. Have you got another couple of minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Look, let's just play a couple of messages and we'll come back and we'll finish this discussion about game and that marriage with Mataro. This is Cravings. It's 27 minutes past one.
Hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You are. It's 28 minutes past one. Zoe Ladyman, I know you're listening. I'll come to you very, very shortly, as I will to Belinda Hagen from McIver Farm Foods to talk about their particular events. I wanted to get into this discussion with you, Nick Stock, who is my guest here in the studio, talking about Mataro and these rare wines that people will tend not to go for. If they see them in their independent liquor store, they go in and they go, oh, I can have a Shiraz, I can have a Pinot, I can have a Cab Sav.
Mataro's it's slower wine, you know, it's on a different wavelength to those sort of wines, and I think winter's such a good, you know, one of the reasons we're doing this event is winter is a time when you look for those, you know, you do things slowly in winter, you slow cook, you sit and read in a sunny spot, and you should drink
get
wine
out of bed a little slower.
You do get out of bed a little slower, a little later and a little more gingerly,
yes.
But it's so and Mataro is one of these sorts of wines, and it's a wine that really does sort of unlock itself when the right food is alongside, and I'll let Zoe sort of talk through all of that.
Well, I was going to ask you, how does wine unlock itself? How does it become more robust?
Well, when you match food and wine together, if you get a good result, what you experience is you see each of those things revealing things about each other that you didn't see when you just had them by themselves.
So Mataro is not a wine that one would be drinking on its own.
Oh, I think it's a wine that really I would drink with food. As a rosé, you would drink it on its own. And
it's a rosé. I've never seen a Mataro rosé.
So in the south of France, a place called Bandol, which is a beautiful port town, very famous for making these dry textural rosés.
Is it down near the Camargue, the sandy soil?
It's more east.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
But... those rosés are amongst, you know, for people that are into rosé, which I must fully confess I am. Yeah,
hand in my heart.
Yeah, they're wines that are really highly regarded as probably the world's best rosé. So this grape is actually the source of arguably the world's best rosé. But as a red wine, yeah, it's sort of I think with some age, with some slow cooked food, the tannins are deep. They're sort of muscular tannins. They're not aggressive tannins, but they're strong tannins. You know, Mataro has what I call core strength to it in terms of the palate structure. It's not aggressive, but it is strong. Mm. And so you can really lay food out beautifully.
Would sit nicely with what is currently in season, which are Slippery Jacks and Pine Mushrooms.
Yes.
Mataro, because of the earthiness of the wine, that
Absolutely.
Marriage is amazing. I know you've got to go and I've got to get some folk on the phone and talk about their events. Must have you back in very soon and we'll continue this discussion. Talk about quickly before you go.
I'll tell you some of the wines.
Yep.
So we've as I said, it's a real enthusiast sort of subject. We've got a one-off bottling of Mataro called Hill of Faith, which is out of the Henschke Hill of Grace Vineyard.
Yep.
It's an old planting. It's only been bottled by itself once, and we have that wine for the dinner. It's a 2008 vintage.
That in itself is worth getting a ticket to this event for.
It's a beautiful wine. We've got the as yet unreleased new Penfolds bin bottling of Mataro, which wine just hasn't been tasted anywhere. It hasn't been released anywhere.
Apart from very elite circles, those that you hang out in.
We just rang up and asked really nicely. and we've got Dean Hewitson is coming over from South Australia. Mm-hmm. He makes a wine called Old Garden, which is an 1850s planting. He's bringing two vintages of that. He's also got a wine called Baby Bush, which is a replanting of bush vine material. So it's a young, fruity version of Mataro. I've got a label called Bespoke Brothers.
Yes, which you've left me a bottle here so I can have that with my mushrooms for dinner.
So
we're
starting with the rosé, so that's made in this southern French style, and then we're straight into reds, and we've got a couple of blended brackets. So we've got a Bespoke Brothers Monastrell Syrah, we call it, and we've got a young guy from the Barossa called Abel Gibson, who in the book, in the Age of Cinnamon Herald Good Wine Guide 2012 edition, was my best new winery, Ruggabellis, and he makes a couple of blends which are Mataro dominant. So there's a real all-star cast and a really interesting lineup. There's good people coming.
Well, it sounds like it's worthwhile to get onto. It's on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at Libertine French Dining Room. Nick Stock will be there to wander you through some of these amazing Mataros, mate. Thank you for your time.
It's a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Very much appreciate it. I'm going to play a little bit of a track now. It's one of my favourite songs, and when we're talking about small batches of wine and small things, there's no better track than the Audrey's to go with that. This is Small Things.
Joy 94.9.
That is the beautiful sound of the Audrey's with Small Things, one of my favourite songs, and a song you will frequently hear here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It's 24 minutes to 2, and look, I'm probably doing some competing priorities here, but I have somebody on the phone who's going to talk us through an event that she's doing called Pig Day Out, happening next weekend out in regional Victoria. It's part of Melbourne Food and Wine's Put Victoria on Your Table, the Roast Collection. And another one of my favourite women in the world. She's gorgeous, she's lovely, she's fabulous personality, and is as passionate about food almost, I think, as I am. She's from Libertine French Dining. And this event that we're talking about, that we started on with Nick Stock, is called Where the Wild Things Are, and it's happening this Tuesday at her venue. So first of all, good afternoon, Belinda Hagen from McIver Farm Foods.
Hi, Peter. How are you going?
Very well, thank you. If you call me Peter, I'll have to hang up on you. It's Pete.
Oh, sorry, Pete.
It's quite all right. And this other young lady is a young woman by the name of Zoe Ladyman. Hello, lady.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Look, it's a pleasure to have you both on. And whilst there are competing food festivals we're talking about, I think there's a lovely marriage between both of these events. Belinda, I'll start with you. You're doing the Pig Day Out next weekend. You're being joined by a chef here in Melbourne, Stephen Drake from the Rose Diner and Bar, coming to Heathcote to celebrate. Well, you talk us through the Pig Day Out.
Yeah, so we're based at Toobarak, which is just south of Heathcote, which is, on the southern ranges of this lovely Heathcote region that produces these beautiful wines, but we're also fortunate enough that we farm free range and old breed being the Berkshire pigs. So this event is a joint event with ourselves, MacGyver Farm Foods, and also MacGyver Estate. And we've got, yes, Stephen Drake coming up. So it'll be a marriage of wine, pork and lots of fun.
And so when we talk about a marriage of wine and pork, Nick's just been talking us through that wonderful marriage of Mataro, that beautiful earthy wine that is an alternative variety. And this all came about because of a discussion, I believe, on Twitter between Max Allen and Neil Prentice about what goes with Mataro, and one of those things was wild boar.
That's right. It did happen on Twitter, in the Twitterverse, as all good things do.
Do, yes.
And there was a discussion about we need to open some Mataro, we need to crack open some Mourvedre, two names for the same thing.
And Monastrell being the third.
And Monastrell, yeah. That's right. I think three countries representing there.
Yep.
And the question was, what are we going to eat with it? And it's like, well, we're going to have to do, Neil said, wild boar. And it's like, actually, wild game. Oh, actually, who cooks game? Oh, actually, it might be Nick Creswick at Libertine. And so then we got involved. And so we wrote a five-course menu to go with exclusively with those really undergrowthian forest floor and kind of gamey, meaty characters that Mourvedre can have or Mataro can have. Mm. So we're featuring wild boar, there's pigeon, there's wild shot venison, there's wild hare, and there's actually, Nick's put together a roasted quince with sort of black forest floor flavours as well to go with the Mataro for dessert as well.
Look, it sounds terrible, and Nick just said on his way out, he said, are you coming? And I went, I don't think I can stay away.
good.
I think it's going to be one of those events that we'll celebrate all things that are good. And look, whilst it's certainly not part of a broader event, and I think there's, as I said, some lovely marriages here, it's food that is comforting for winter, and whilst game is wonderfully comforting, so is pig.
Pig is comforting no matter the weather.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, that's exactly right. Belinda, why the pig day out? What was the motivation behind putting that together?
So we, my husband and I farm Berkshire pigs, and it's a true free-range system. And I suppose last year MacGyver Estate did a similar event, and it really sort of come about because I suppose, you know, local producers getting together and actually, you know, featuring and showcasing what we do. But the other great thing is actually people get to see what we do also. So we they get to watch Stephen butcher up the suckling pig.
Ooh.
And they get to watch Gary give some tips and some great advice with regard to the wood-fired oven. And then they actually, once that the suckling pig's in the pizza oven, they actually then come down and do a tour of the farm. So they actually get to see how this produce is actually produced and how we actually do care for our pigs and also the environment, because it's one thing that we do probably slightly different to a lot of other free-range producers is the way that we actually manage our pigs. We're farming them quite environmentally, as not just throughout the animal welfare benefits as well.
We need to have you in for a dinner, Belinda.
Yeah.
See, the powers of radio, ladies and gentlemen.
About having so many hundreds of four-legged animals now that we don't get off the farm very much. So we're a little bit tired here. And that's probably one of the other bonuses about doing this event, is bring people out of the city and saying, come and visit us and come and see what we do. So that's sort of how the event came about. It also features, we have some organic vegetable growers up the road as well, so they'll be using their produce, and teaming that with Holy Goat Cheese, which the Holy Goat Girls are only just, well, it's a few kilometres down the road on the way to Castlemaine, but, you know, I suppose in a way it's still quite regional.
Oh, it's country Victoria. It's just up the road.
Exactly. So yeah, the added bonus you get with ours is that, well, you get to get out of Melbourne for the day, and fingers crossed it's a lovely sunny day like today has been. It was a bit fresh this morning.
Is it sunny where you are?
Yeah, the sun is shining.
Oh,
yeah.
Not where I am.
No, not where I'm either, Zoe.
But you also get to, yeah, get to be sort of a bit hands-on and come and see the pigs, come and see how we farm, and meet a great team of, as you say, it's going to be chefs and winemakers and food producers, so it'll be a great day.
Well, that sounds like a brilliant day. Now, there's also events as part of this roast collection that you're a part of that are going on across Melbourne. Tomorrow you can get to the Aylesbury, you can get to the Post Office Hotel in Coburg, you can get to Union Dining tomorrow, and also until the 30th of 30th of June, the Portland Hotel, and indeed True South. All of the information on each of those events to get the roast on your table is at melbournefoodandwine.com.au. Belinda, thank you for joining us. Good luck for next weekend, and if I am so taken, I shall get in the car and make my way up.
Thank you very much, and I suppose just a note, it's limited numbers, so get in fast and get in contact with MacGyver Estate with regards to the booking, and we look forward to meeting all the people that do come up.
Beautiful. Thanks, Belinda.
Thanks very much.
Bye, Pete. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, Ms. Ladyman.
Yes, my dear.
Let's continue on this discussion. I'm going to play a couple of messages and you and I shall come back and we shall talk about where the wild things are, because you've put together a phenomenal menu and I'm quite looking forward to discussing it. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It is 16 minutes to 2.
Melbourne's most lovable station is now giving you more reasons to listen. Joy 94.9.
Yes, do make sure you get along to that event and do keep Midsummer free. One event that you also want to get to, it's happening on Tuesday night at Libertine French Dining Room. The reason we're talking about this event, I tend not to focus specifically on too many events that are happening, but there's very much a philosophy behind this event as part of the Melbourne Fringe Food Festival that happens right across the year. It's not just one particular festival event. People do take some risks, and I think Zoe Ladyman from Libertine Dining that in some senses this dinner is a risk. People aren't familiar with eating wild shot venison, eating hare civet, eating wild boar or pigeon. Is it part of your philosophy? And I know that you and your team at Libertine are quite proactive in making people challenge themselves and their palate?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Libertine's been open for 7 years now, and since the start we've had a nightly game special. So we've always tried to have wild things, wild venison, wild hare and the rest. And we find there is a passionate little following. It's not a massive piece of the market, but those who love it dearly and keep coming for it. And I suppose it's nice to showcase for this dinner. It's nice to showcase such a range, and we're getting the tickets are selling to those sorts of people. The people that love to eat game, we just don't see it enough. And so it's a game fest. It's going to be full on. I mention on the word the hare dish, hare civet. It was interesting. I was chatting to a girl about it, and she's like, "Isn't civet a cat? Are you seriously? What's going on?"
Yeah, well, a civet is a member of the cat family. It's a wild cat.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Well, it's actually another name for this style of braise that the hare is done. So it's wild hare done civet style, which is a rich braise that's thickened with the blood of the hare as well. That's what that means.
Oh, I'm all over that. Never mind. So now we've spoken to Nick briefly about the wines. The challenge was to go and find Mataros to go with each course, each reflecting a different terroir, a different a different style almost. And he talked about kicking off with a Mataro Rosé, which is a new one for me.
Famous sort of in the south of France. Like if you're there, Provence area and Bondol, they do. Rosé is made exclusively from Mourvèdre or Mataro, and they can be lovely, savoury in kind of an earthy and brambly kind of a way instead of a lolly kind of rosé. It's delicious.
Well, that's how rosé should be drank. It shouldn't be sweet and cordial like. It should actually be dry and savoury and crisp.
I just find you can drink so much more at such a faster rate when they are like that.
And of course, we do encourage on this program the responsible consumption of alcohol at all times and anything
of
else.
Course.
Some of the dinners you've done, the Nebbiolo dinner that was a recent event, Max Allen has promised to arrive in a wolf suit.
Oh, bless him. Look, the naming of the dinner, of course, arrived from that beautiful children's book by Maurice Sendak, Where the Wild Things Are. We're having the wild wine, we're serving the wild game. And Max, of course, the first line of this book is one of my children's favourites, so I pretty much can recite the whole thing, but the first line is, "The night Max wore his wolf suit and made mischief of one kind."
And
you turn the page and it says, "And another." And so it's, Max is coming, Max Allen is hosting it. Why would we not have Max in a wolf suit? Oh my goodness, I can't
wait. That's exactly right. Now, Maurice Sendak, the late Maurice Sendak, recently departed. Is this almost a bit of an honour to him in this book?
I think so. I absolutely love it. It was so famous. It was just this year, I think.
Yeah, it was only a matter of weeks ago that he shuffled off this mortal coil. And, it's if anybody hasn't read the book itself, it's so worth going and into your favourite independent bookshop and buying a copy of this book, because it is it's wonderful, and how appropriate that the night Max wore his wolf suit and made mischief of one kind and another, because Max Allen is indeed known for making mischief. Zoe, a question for you via an SMS. Oh wow, I'd love to eat wild food. Is it going to be a repeat event if we can't make it this time? That's from Grant in Essendon.
I don't think that we'll be repeating this particular event, but to you, Grant, please do come nightly at Libertine, and we feature all of these things, you know, from week to week at Libertine, the wild boar, the wild game bird, especially it's game bird season at the moment. Mm. Very short season, sort of about 10 weeks. We're in the midst of it at the minute.
Yep.
Got wild shot venison around, and we can get hold every now and then of wild hare as well, wild rabbit too. So I suggest to him that if he's really keen, give the restaurant a call, find out what we're doing for the week or for the weekend, and we can let him know and he can come in.
And, of course, it is, it's a wonderful season for slippery jacks and pine mushrooms.
Oh, there it is. They start off the early season, the mushrooms, they come down from the Macedon. Mm. We're getting them at the moment from Mornington, and yep, they're just, again, they just really pick up that earthy, you know, that real spectrum of earthiness.
I was in at the South Melbourne market late yesterday afternoon, and I saw some beautiful wild mushrooms. So I bought some and I had them with some lamb for my dinner with a little bit of grilled mushrooms, a little bit of butter, and then some Stilton on top. It was just spectacular.
Delicious. Pete, you don't need us.
Well, no, I do, because I did the CEO sleep out on Thursday night and had a cup of soup that gave me heartburn all the night. I decided I would treat myself to a rather fine dinner at home last night with a bottle of Pinot Noir.
So it wasn't the sleeping rough, it was the cup of soup that gave you nightmares?
No, it just gave me heartburn. But look, I'm not complaining, because for some people that's all they have to eat, and it was an opportunity to raise some money for homelessness,
and
which
you
did
so well.
$2,500.
Well done.
Yeah, it was a good effort. So this event, people can find out more, of course, at your website.
Yes, at our website, libertinedining.com.au.
And as you say, there are always things going on at Libertine. Do you still do that thing on a Friday evening where you rip open a couple of interesting bottles?
Libation, we call that. Yeah, yes. Libertine libation. Look, not currently, but it's certainly it's up for offer and request. If people come in and they see something on the list, we just want a glass, you know, we can serve a couple of glasses here and there and then sell the rest of the couple of glasses through the night. So, absolutely.
And worst case scenario, Zoe, sit down at the end of the night yourself and polish off a half a bottle of something interesting.
Yeah, it's just dreadful side effect.
Yes, I'm sure it is. Hey, mate, good to talk to you as always. Really looking forward to, if I can be there on Tuesday night, to get along to this dinner and eat some wild food. And I think it's worth going just to see Max Allen in a dress-up suit.
You don't need any encouragement for getting a little bit wild in some dress-ups of your own, do you? Seriously?
No, no. If anybody's seen my Facebook page in the last 24 hours...
Mrs. Coral Trout.
Oh, she was a hoot. Get along, have a look at Libertine's website. They do a lot of interesting stuff with food as a constant. And Zoe, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
You too, my dear. Thanks for having me.
No worries, and I hope to see you on Tuesday night.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you. That is the lovely Zoe Ladyman. Other things going on around town, of course, there's some dinners coming up at the Duchess of Spotswood if you are on that side of town. You will find that they have a monthly dinner that's starting very, very soon. They're kicking off with one that's awful. There's another one that will be game. So you can keep an eye on these things right across the interwebs, as always, because there is always a lot going on. I'm always, of course, keen to hear from you. You can email cravings@joy.org.au should you so wish. You can send me a tweet to cravings_joy949 to keep in touch with me through the week if there is a story that you would like, if there is a particular theme show that you would like, because coming up in the next few weeks, next week, celebrating 3 years on air, it seems like it's been longer that I've been talking to you, but never mind. So we will celebrate 3 years on air next Saturday. In the following weeks, we'll be having a discussion about the second in our series of discussions around ethical food and the way that we purchase and consume food. We'll also have a discussion around food allergies and intolerances and things that people simply can't eat. We're going to probably marry that in with a discussion around halal. That's thanks to the team on Detours who have put that idea into my head. And in August, I shall be away for 3 weeks. Hilary McNevin will be sitting in my chair in August. She'll be steering you through three programs. Whilst I'm lousing about on a beach having a very well-earned holiday somewhere in the middle of the ocean somewhere, Asia sort of way. So, yes, Hilary McNevin will be in for three programs through August, and I'm sure they will be as interesting as always. As I say, if you want information, email cravings@joy.org.au. I'm going to play another little bit of a song. I haven't quite decided what I'm playing for you yet. It'll be something interesting. I was thinking that I might have to play a little bit of Carice Eden, only because, ladies and gentlemen, she did win The Voice on Monday night. She is somebody whose voice that I'm quite in love with, and so perhaps I shall play her version of Hallelujah, which I thought was spectacular, and I'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, how odd it is to hear me making announcements on the wireless in my very own show. Look, it's just a minute to two now. The boys will be up very shortly with Fender Benders, talking all things motor vehicle. I'd like to thank all of our correspondents today. Thank you for your text messages and your emails. Also like to say a big thank you to Nick Stock for coming in, to Zoe Ladyman and to Belinda Hagen for joining me on the phone. As I say, we'll be back very shortly, but stay with the boys for Fender Benders, because I swear, I tell you, they'll do a very fine job. It is almost 2 o'clock. I'll be back next week. Until then, eat well, drink well, do keep yourself nice. Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.